Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's motivational aim targets, the boundary will expose it. I want to thank you all for joining me as I cover this boundary series. My aim for this series is to share the importance of setting boundaries and living by them. Many people start off creating boundaries, but maintaining the boundary is a different story due to the consequences associated with it. If God told you to set boundaries, and if God showed you that you need to set boundaries, it is in one's best interest to do what God said to do. This series might not be for everyone because it deals with accountability, it deals with responsibility, and it deals with resilience and grit. So, if you are a person who doesn't see the need of keeping boundaries or setting boundaries and you get upset when people talk about them, you might just want to go ahead and scroll through my podcast and find another series to listen to. But to be honest, totally honest, this is primarily what I talk about anyway, leaving people alone. So let me go ahead and target in on today's motivational aim. The boundary will expose it. For those who listen to part two, you are aware that I went over the account with Saul trying to kill David, and David enforced a boundary and ran away from him. Now I am picking up in 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, and I encourage you to read that passage of scripture in its entirety. I'm going to go ahead and provide a brief synopsis of what went down. All right. As I just mentioned, David ran away from Saul, but he meets up with Saul's son, Jonathan. And David asks Jonathan, "Man, what is up with your daddy? Your daddy is trying to kill me. What have I done to your daddy? I mean, why does he want to take my life?" Jonathan's response was, David, my daddy won't kill you. You won't die. Man, if my daddy was really trying to kill you, he would have shared that information with me, man. He doesn't do anything without telling me. That's not true." In a sense, Jonathan was telling David, "Man, you're reading too much into that. I know you created this boundary and you're enforcing this boundary with my dad, but you aren't in danger, David. Me and my dad are close, David. I know if he didn't like you or not and wanted to kill you. Trust me, David. What you're saying is nonsense, David." Now, Jonathan probably didn't say it in that way to make David feel dumb for asking those questions, but he still said it. And it was up to David to keep the boundary enforced and remember why the boundary was set in the first place, despite what his friend was telling him about his daddy. And you have to go on what God said, and you have to go on what God showed you, because God can show you things that other people cannot see. In this case, Jonathan didn't see what Saul was doing because Jonathan wasn't the threat. Jonathan was not a threat to his daddy. And let me just go ahead and ask a question. How many of you have been in the presence of someone not liking you? They despise you. They're watching you. They're doing disrespectful things aimed at you in a way where nobody else can detect them or see them. You see what they are doing. You heard what they said because they told you to your face. You were face to face with them when they abused you. They did you wrong. But everyone else in the circle thinks they are the sweetest person. They're so innocent. Why would you create and enforce and maintain a boundary with them? They're just so lovable and huggable. They're just so likable. They're just so personable, so caring. They're always reaching out to make sure people are okay. They love people. But you know they are wolves walking around with a custom-made sheepskin trench coat with a hoodie. And when people ask you, "Hey, why didn't you come to so-and-so? Why did you leave? I haven't seen you around lately. Where have you been? And you share with them, yeah, that person that you're connected to, they are problematic. They are a problem in my life. I will not go around them because they are wolves. And someone says, no, no. We're close. If they wanted to do something to you, trust and believe, they would have told me. I mean, they tell me everything. The wolf has them fooled because the wolf is strategic. The wolf can't let people know the real reason you left them alone. So they either don't talk about it or they slant the narrative, where they play victim and they tell people, yeah, I was just trying to reach out to them and they neglected me. They stopped talking to me. They just up and stopped talking to me out of the blue. All I wanted was a relationship and they left. But they conveniently, intentionally left out the part when they tried to kill you. And they lied on you. And they were only talking to you to avenge their meaningless cause. And sometimes they don't share with people how they really feel about you and what they plan on doing to you, because the people who are around them serve as pawns, their marks. So it's all strategic in their mind. But the monkey wrench is, you created a boundary and you really stuck with it. And when they think they know you, they find out they don't. So Jonathan tells David, yeah, man, you don't have anything to worry about. My daddy, he was just upset. He was thinking about some stuff. He's not trying to kill you, David. But David still remembered why he set the boundary despite what Jonathan was talking about. So David tells Jonathan, man, the reason your daddy won't tell you is because he knows we are cool. And he knows you'll be upset with him if you knew his plot. Jonathan, your daddy's trying to kill me. He wants me out of here. Now, when Jonathan actually listened to what David was saying, he said, all right, man, I'll test to see if what you're saying is true. I won't tell my daddy we talked. And whatever you need me to do, I got you, man. And David told him, all right, tomorrow and the next day, I'm supposed to be at work. And your dad is expecting me to show up for those two meetings back to back with him, because they are very important. And I'm letting you know now, I will not show up for two nights in a row. I'm going into hiding at this location. Just go in the meetings and test your daddy's reactions, man. If your daddy asks where I am, tell him that you gave me permission to go visit my daddy at his house. If your daddy says, okay, good, I'm glad to hear that he's safe, that's good. But if your daddy responds in a manner where he displays anger, just because I went to my hometown, or you tell him that I went to my hometown, then you will know that your daddy has evil intentions. Jonathan agrees with this plan, and David and Jonathan come up with some secret codes where they can communicate with each other in the open and nobody will know about it. And I encourage you to read 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, in its entirety. So it's on now. This bird said what's up in the background. The first night, Jonathan goes to the meeting. King Saul comes in, sits at his usual place by the wall. Other people start walking into the meeting, taking their seat. But David's seat was empty. The first night, Saul noticed that David was not there, but he didn't say anything. He thought, something must have happened with David. Okay, I'll just wait for him tomorrow. He'll be here tomorrow. So the meeting went on as planned, but the next night, The second day, Saul walks in, everybody takes their seat, and King Saul notices that David's seat was empty again. So Saul asks Jonathan, "Jonathan, why didn't David come to the meeting yesterday or today?" Jonathan answers, Daddy, David asked for permission to go to his hometown because they had an event planned. So I told him he could go. That's why he is not here." And this is what 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter in the 30th verse, states. "Then Saul became angry with Jonathan and shouted, 'You stupid son of a whore. Do you think I don't know that you want him to be king in your place, shaming yourself and your mother?'" See, Jonathan got a revelation right there that David was not lying. It was revealed that the boundary David enforced exposed Saul's intent, and the boundary exposed the true nature of Saul's heart. Saul couldn't take that boundary. Y'all will hear some noise in the background, but I have to persevere through. I have things to do. So Saul couldn't take this boundary. He attacked his own son. He called his son's mama a whore. And then he told the son, "Man, you stupid. Don't you want to be king? You out here teaming up with the boy who follows God, and you're so busy doing things God's way, and you won't have a chance if you follow him. You're just so stupid, Jonathan. You're stupid." But we all know Saul was not operating in godly wisdom. You see how the boundary exposed the motive and the intent for the person the boundary was set for? And have you all ever set boundaries for people and folks didn't believe you, but you kept or you stuck to those boundaries? And then in due time, that boundary exposed the intent of the person. I know it's hard, but the aim is to just wait, trust God, and don't try to convince people the reason on why you set boundaries. No, at just the right time. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, next week, 5 years from now, a month from now, 1 year from now, 15 years from now. Those boundaries that you set will expose that person, because the person will always be them. They'll always be themselves. They take them everywhere they go. And if it appears that no one will see their true nature, that's not for you to worry about or try to convince someone to see. There will be some people who do not, and they will refuse to see the true person. And that's on them. But there will be a day when that person who lied, manipulated, made it look like that they were the victim, they went around telling the family, the coworker, the friends, the classmates, the boss, the people in the neighborhood, your children, your siblings, your relatives. They went around playing victim. Some of them did it. Some of them are doing it right now. They're walking around with their sheepskin coat, sheepskin mask, sheepskin sandals, sheepskin sneakers and slippers. They have a sheepskin hat, sheepskin gloves, sheepskin jewelry, sheepskin skirt and leggings, have their cell phone with the sheepskin cover, and one day that wolf will forget one of their sheepskin items. They will forget it because they're so fixated on catching you. They're so fixated on watching you, and they're so fixated on getting people to move boundary markers. They'll think their big opportunity and moment is coming to kill you, and they don't want to miss out on that opportunity. They have to destroy you. And they're in a rush, they're in a hurry, and they run outside. And they go before people, wolf naked, and that's the moment. That's the moment when people will see. And these people who thought that they were sheep will be so startled, saying, "Oh my goodness, oh, it's a wolf. It's a wolf. You, Oh my, you were a wolf the whole time. Oh my gosh. And they'll look like somebody hit them in the face with a cold water balloon. Screaming, oh my gosh, and coming to tell you. When you told them that they were a wolf, but now they're coming to tell you because they finally saw, oh my goodness, they were a wolf. Did you know it was a wolf? And since you enforce boundaries, you can't even respond to that. Because that's their problem now. You told them. That's their issue. Let's say the wolf didn't forget their sheepskin unit. Okay? Remember, it's not the wolf's nature to keep masks on anyway. They will expose themselves. Even when people co-sign with the wolf and the liar and ask you why you did the wolf that way, even though they don't know that they are wolf, they're walking around looking at the person that you enforced this boundary with, taking their side, saying, I mean, why did you do that? I mean, why'd you do them that way? And I mentioned this earlier. Oh my gosh, she's so innocent. She is so sweet, so lovable. He's so nice. Oh my gosh, so respectful. I can't believe you're doing that to them. Why are you treating them that way? They'll figure it out. They will figure it out if they keep talking to that liar. If they keep talking to that wolf, they will figure it out. If they keep talking to that fruit, they will find out that fruit will have them in the hospital when they consume what that fruit offers. They'll figure it out. That's their trash. That's their problem. They can go to God and ask God for help because you already tried. So they need to go to God. Even when the boundaries expose people, you still have to keep your boundaries. That's not the time to link up with people for these little kumbaya moments. Telling people, hey, come over. Come over to my house. You know, we can talk about how they were a wolf. And that's why I was trying to tell you this years ago. I mean, finally you can see it. I mean, but that's what I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you that 20 years ago. I know it hurts, but man, I can't believe they did that to you. I mean, it's going to be okay. No, don't waste your time doing that. Create a boundary with them. Don't accept these invitations for people to feature you as the guest speaker to the Wolf Exposure Seminar. And these were the very people calling you crazy. They were telling you, oh, you're reading too much into it. No, stick to the boundary. Just because somebody received a revelation doesn't mean it's time for you to move your boundary marker, allowing people access to you. It's time for them to figure that stuff out on their own. If they apologize, that's great. But it doesn't matter if they do or not. You need to go ahead and do what you need to do. Go to your house as they go to theirs. Because some people, you have to be careful. Somebody realizes somebody's a wolf. We don't know if they set a boundary. See, that's why you have to ask God for wisdom and discernment. Somebody can call out a wolf all day long, but if they're not enforcing boundaries, they're putting themselves in dangerous situations and they want to come talk to you about it? No. They keep telling you, that's a wolf, that's a wolf, that's a wolf. Let me tell you what the wolf did. Whoa, how do you know what the wolf did? 5 weeks after you found out that they were a wolf. How, you keeping up with the wolf? What? Gotta stay away from you. All I'm saying is God lets us know who people are and what people are about regarding what they produce. And the scripture I want to review with you once more is the one you've heard over and over so far, is Matthew the 7th chapter in the 15th through the 20th verse. And it states, be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. The fruit will expose the root. The fruit will also expose what is being produced, and that is either good or bad fruit. The fruit of people's actions will expose itself. Just wait and see. And when it does, there won't be any denying that it's either good or bad. You won't have to say anything, and you won't even have to be around. Keep enforcing your boundaries, all right? Thank you for tuning in. Visit drkenitrabryant.com to download some Bible study content I have on the site. You can also order some inspirational apparel. Feel free to check me out on the YouVersion Bible app and on Instagram at Aim Towards the Target. Enjoy the remainder of your day, trusting and believing that God will vindicate you and God will expose what needs to be exposed. You keep doing what you need to do and let God do what He's going to do. All right, peace and God bless.